Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Ollie Davis, now with a hat, and I'm joined by Luke Owen. We are going to discuss William Regal leaving AEW. This is breaking news. We were going to talk about the MJF segment from last night's episode of Dynamite, where MJF turned on William Regal just 10, 11 days after Regal sided with him at Full Gear, turned on Jon Moxley. Just 5 days, or not even that, 4 days after Triple H put a little tweet out being, oh, I miss you, William Regal, you're my bestest friend.
Yeah, and then Dave Meltzer had reported that his contract was only a year long, so it would end in February of next year, then corrected himself to be, it's actually 3 years. So we thought, okay, turns out he won't be going anywhere there because he's under contract for 3 years.
And now we have the latest from PW Insider.
Yeah, so here is what PW Insider had to say. All signs are that William Regal, 54, will be World Wrestling Entertainment bound shortly.
Shortly? That's not 3 years away, Luke.
Although we have heard nothing official from the company, there have been rumblings within WWE of late about Regal returning in a backstage role. That would mean Regal would be exiting AEW, where it certainly appeared that he was written out of storylines last night on Dynamite, having been attacked by AEW champ MJF. Now, there's an interesting side note to this, is that Dave Meltzer was talking about this angle on Wrestling Observer Radio last night, and he did, you know, his usual Dave thing. I'm going to read you verbatim what Dave said, because I think...
With the ears?
All of what Dave said. Because in isolation, not all that interesting, but coupled with what Mike Johnson has just said, here's what Dave said. There's stuff that I can't say, but, you know, it's like, you know, whatever the three-year contract is, there's something up here, okay? And it is certainly a possibility that he's going back. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not making that up. That is what he said.
You know.
You know. You know. Like, you know.
This is what Dave Meltzer has been saying since Sunday, because Saturday, Triple H put out the tweet, oh, it isn't the same without someone going, and it was a montage of William Regal saying,
War Games!
On Twitter. And, you know, just an innocent post. But then on Sunday, that's when Meltzer started to say, oh, yeah, I can't say anything. But there is a story here.
It's not a non-story, yeah. Is the way that Meltzer put it.
And it's very much become not a non-story, but a full-on story now. This is baffling. Yesterday, me and Tempest uploaded a video where we are talking about, do you think William Regal will go to WWE? Because the story somewhat changed from William Regal has an out in his contract in February, April time because it's a one-year contract, but then Meltzer added, actually it's 3 years. So that changed the story from, well, Regal could just leave to Regal has to actively ask for his release.
Or is it that Meltzer was actually right in the first instance and it was just a misunderstanding? He has a 3-year deal with a 1-year opt-out.
But that's still February, April. Now's November. December.
Shortly. That's only 2 months away, or 3 months. Right, is it start of February, 2 months away? That is shortly.
Well, if it's shortly, so let's just...
It's your birthday, shortly.
Hey, you know, let's talk about what happened on last night's episode of Dynamite, because that plays into this, and this whole MJF heel turn following Full Gear.
Yeah, MJF turned heel, the bastard.
And he turned heel again last night. But some more this time.
More heel.
You know, MJF... did his big 17-minute long, arguably too long, explanation promo of what he is doing as AEW World Champion. He sided with William Regal. William Regal took him under his wing to become the ultimate villain. That's why Regal turned on the Blackpool Combat Club. And then at the end of the promo,
I would argue he didn't turn on the Blackpool Combat Club. He just made Max a villain.
That is a very weird way of looking at what happened.
Well,
he definitely turned on Moxley.
Yes, he certainly turned on Moxley, but not the whole group.
You know what would help this? Some clarification over the status of the Blackpool Combat Club.
And the reason why I would say that he didn't turn on the Combat Club is I don't think Claudio cares. Yeah. And I don't think Wheeler Yuta cares that much. So can you really turn on something that doesn't care back?
The MJF then walks around the back of Regal and he said, "Hey, crowd, let's give it up for Regal. Show this man some respect." And it totally worked me because I was like, yeah, he should get cheered. And then out of nowhere, it was all a misdirect because MJF used the brass knucks of all things, the very weapon Regal gave him, to deck him in the back of the head. And Regal just sells it like death.
And the commentators played this up so seriously. They went quiet. They were talking about Regal's history with concussions, his history with neck problems, his history with brain bleeds. And they were like, this is serious now. Even Taz, who at the start of this segment was like, "Hey, you know, it's MJF. Like, you know, he does the things, but actually he's all great." And even Taz was like, "He's gone too far. Like, he's taken this too far." Tony Schiavone said the S word.
Yeah. With AEW, I often feel like they don't give things like this enough time. This was perfectly measured. They even went to ad break, came back. It was still going on because Bryan Danielson, who he sees Regal as a father figure, was distraught. And that's going to build what will likely be a Max versus Bryan feud.
For Revolution.
For Revolution next year. It adds a real personal blood feud element to that. But then, yeah, Danielson goes off in the moving medical facility to the local medical facility with Regal. So I did not see this coming.
Me
because
either.
But me and Tempest, you can go back and watch the video from Wednesday. We were like, "Oh yeah, but what will happen?" But there is so much mileage left in Regal and MJF that surely that's going to go on for at least a couple of months. We keep comparing it to CM Punk and Paul Heyman in terms of like two excellent promo people being put together actually makes an even better act.
But I loved Max's justification for why he did it. And this for me, like, you know, I know some people thought that the segment went a bit too long. And I totally get it because it did go. It's a nice hat, by the way.
It's a hot hat.
This is a heavy belt. We're really weighing ourselves down here. I totally bought into everything that he was saying. But for me, like, the perfect cherry on top of this was the reason he gave for why he did it, which is this all has been built around the email that Regal sent to him when he had his tryout for WWE, which is that the game has changed and WWE are bigger than you now and we're not looking for talent at your level, but send me a tape when you think you're good enough. And that is what he said to him here. He was like, "You're no longer on my level. Send me a tape when you think you're good enough." All of this is built around emails that Regal sent years and years and years ago for MJF. And MJF has just been holding on to that anger. And he played William Regal and he used William Regal to get everything that he wanted.
There's two sides of this, isn't there? There's the kayfabe side, which is what you're talking about. So the on-screen character motivation for these various twists and turns. And then there's the adjacent backstage happenings. And I want to discuss how these two influence each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because in kayfabe, according to Regal and MJF in the promos, last Regal sent MJF an email after the firm beat Max down. To my memory, that's 3 weeks before Full Gear.
Correct.
So this was only a master plan that was hatched that Regal decided to act upon 3 weeks out from the pay-per-view.
I think that Regal has been having this in the back of his mind since their first interaction.
With the promo segment then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like when they first brought up the email.
Yeah.
Like when Max first, they had that promo segment, that is probably where, in a kayfabe world, Regal was like, now I see what I was looking for in this guy, and he could be the villain that I think needs to be the villain that we need in this company.
So Max really was turning babyface from a character perspective. He really was seeing the good side of morality. He actually genuinely came down to help Moxley.
I still don't think that he was, because in that match, he went to use the diamond ring. I think he was always, he was going to be playing us rather than also playing Regal as well.
Up until the Regal email, which would have been post the firm beatdown.
I think even then, like, I think MJF was doing all of those insincere babyface promos. And you kept saying it was like, it was really weird as a babyface promo. And I was like, I think it's weird on purpose because it's not really a babyface promo. But it's a heel pretending to be a babyface.
But Regal and Max wouldn't have worked that out.
No, but
that's
what I mean. So MJF has already had his plan that he's going to pretend that I'm the good guy, then knock Moxie out with the diamond ring. And then that is just coupled with Regal's plan, that Regal's come forward and be like, actually, I can make this even easier for you.
Personally, I think that's a messy story. But you get to Full Gear. Regal makes the turn. The explanation for why Regal betrayed Moxley was, well, I wanted to create the biggest villain. And in a way, he succeeded, because then his creation then turned on him immediately, thus being a bigger villain.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a good motivation either. I like the twists and the turns and the superficial high spots, but ultimately I think the motivation behind, you know, the master plan behind Regal turning on Mox and then MJF turning on Regal, I actually find quite unfulfilling. And AEW and definitely Max are usually a lot better than that. So this is why I'm looking at all this other stuff that's happening and thinking, well, is this because the hand has been forced? Really, did AEW see 3 months minimum in this act, but then they had to rush it because Regal respectfully asked for his release to go back to WWE, and because it's Regal and he's a mensch, Tony Khan said, yes, you can do that.
Or is Regal just going to be off TV for a while and then make his return at Revolution, the pay-per-view that he made his debut, because it's going to be MJF Danielson, the main event of Revolution.
Not going by the PW Insider report.
Well, yeah, shortly.
Shortly. I think you already wrote Regal off TV last week when Mox said to him, run. And I thought, okay, Regal's going to come back at least a few weeks down the line to sell that and then come and turn on Mox. And that is then what finally writes off Mox from TV. Mox can finally have a vacation. But I feel like this turn was rushed. I did like the turn, but I feel like it was rushed.
Do you know what? Because I'm quite easily pleased at times. just ask my wife. And it was Max's final lines when he read back the email, but from him to Regal. I was like, oh, actually, this has been a really good story. And I've really enjoyed this. But I do think that's also me. I'm just sometimes quite easily pleased. I noticed a detail, and they did the detail, and I noticed that, and it made me feel like a smart fan.
I think it's a nice bow at the like holding together what is quite a clumsy story. There's that final moment.
But I don't think you're wrong in that. The other benefit of this promo I could see is that he did set up his next three challenges for the title, because he said Ricky Starks. Ricky is going to be facing him at Winter is Coming. Eddie Kingston will probably be one of the January shows. And then you do Danielson at Revolution. So at least Max was smart enough here to be like, here are my next three challenges, by the way. One of which you already know. Here's the next two after that.
The more I look at this promo, this segment, the last few months, I always saw Full Gear as the bit where AEW like, okay, now we've tied up all the loose ends and now we can move forward. And I think they've been doing a great job with that on last week's Dynamite and here. Well, I wasn't expecting that they still had a bunch of loose ends to tie up and write Regal out as an on-screen character.
That we think. Bearing in mind as well, this is just a report from PW Insider. We don't know how much Regal is actually just going back to WWE. Although, according to them, WWE expect him back very, very soon.
And like Meltzer's been talking about it as well, when you get
two people.
Wrestling Observer and PW Insider saying,
I don't think you're wrong.
And Triple H is tweeting about it. And Regal's just been obviously written off forever.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of. I don't think it's out of the...
It feels like we've got all the puzzle pieces here. Yeah. It's just up to us to put them in the right places.
Anyway, let us know what you guys think. Leave us some comments down below. Are you unhappy that Regal has gone? Do you think there was more mileage in the MJF AEW stuff? Me and Tempest kept on saying, if Regal left after 3 months for WWE, work that into the story. Have MJF keep saying, well, I'm going to go over to WWE, join my man Regal. I thought that was
he would probably still do that now at this point.
Even though he just decked him in the back of the head.
Yeah, I'm not going to go over there. I'm going to deck him again.
And subscribe because there'll be plenty more stuff coming on, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a one to keep an eye on. I think if this does all come to a head and this is it for Regal, I think the biggest missed opportunity here is not any of the MJF stuff. It's Blackpool Combat Club.
Right, so let's get into your Omega chat. Sorry, that was sort of a breaking news. We just thrust it in there. I didn't even get to do a full-on setup for my hat.
No, I know. You just like, so you said to me today, have you read my AEW Dynamite script yet? And I said, no, I haven't. And you went, don't, because I've got a bit that I want to do. And I, you know, when I had my title on my arm and then I look over and you're just sort of rummaging around. And I was like, God, now's not the time. And then he sits back up. And he's got this big purple hat on. And in my head, I'm like, that's like a very serious subject here. And you just put on a wacky hat.
I said to Pete, and he's looking at me right now. I said, Pete, do you think I should wear the hat? Because we're now going to talk about Regal. And he went, nah, I'm going to wear the hat.
You can't stop me. I'm wearing a hat. I like this hat.
If you didn't pick up on what Luke just said. Yeah, Luke does read my reviews before we come in here so he can take the opposite stance on everything artificially.
It's because I care about you. And I care about... Genuine always like, I just want to know what Ollie thought of the show.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's see what you guys think. Of course, WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your Omega chats in there. Subscribe. Press the thumbs up button. Leave a comment down below as well. We didn't went so hard into the Regal stuff, we didn't really talk about the other bits. Noah Fortner says, this segment was ruined for me and my section because there was a little kid front row opposite the hard cam with a MJF eats poop sign, and we were desperately trying.
Sean Ross Sapp just tweeted 13 minutes ago, I heard Regal's deal is up in December. There's a freebie since I'm sick.
What? Signs a 9-month deal?
It's even more shortly.
Well.
You can grab that off the live stream feed.
Sorry, Pete is trying to make a separate video out of what we did at the start. Don't press the record button again.
I'm not rereading the tweet, Pete.
And we were desperately trying to get a chant going, especially when the belt was revealed with a looks like poop chant. Great show to be at live, but by far one of the most over things on the show was Dan the Dad appearing on AEW Dark. Mega over with this crowd.
Oh.
Of course, Dan the Dad is an indie act. Very fun.
Oh, that's nice.
So Noah was at the show. You were not a good crowd, unfortunately.
Or was it a case of not mic'd? So, actually, that was the other thing to talk about.
Well, last week's crowd were good.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. Or, you know, could it just be they were massively into the Elite, weren't they? Mm. Well, not the Elite, but you know what I mean. That was the other thing, actually, that Meltzer talked about this. Well, you mentioned this on the when you were listening to Wrestling Observer Radio, that they felt that it didn't get heat.
Mm.
And I thought that was the reaction they were looking for, which is silent worry.
I feel like, and we'll go into the whole MJF promo segment later because there's loads more to talk about other than just the Regal turn. Mm. But there they were talking about the bit that came, you know, the 16 minutes that came before the Regal knockout blow. And you could see MJF doing the cheap heat, like interrupting where he was to get the crowd engaged again. I think it was a bad crowd, unfortunately. Sorry, Noah, no offense. Matt Avery, X2. I was very worried when Regal turned, executed well, but didn't think the story they were telling warranted it. Maybe a story for respect, but not full-blown heel duo. I think Tony made this decision because fans wanted it, but had no true direction. What do you think?
No, I think that this was, once they had that promo segment, that I think the plan was always that Regal was going to turn on Moxley.
100%.
Like that was not him doing it because fans thought it was going to happen. Fans only thought that was going to happen because Tony Khan had telegraphed that it was going to happen.
But what about this turn here?
This turn here, if it is true and Regal's deal is up in December, which is way more shortly than we thought in February, then yeah, maybe this was just a way we need to do it now.
Today's December.
Yeah.
Keep thinking it's November.
In fairness, Sean has got COVID. Like, he's feeling a bit unwell.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Pinch punch first of the month.
It's after midday, so you've got Lurgies. Kid Phantom version 3. With the MJF segment calling out Brian specifically, I did like the small comparison of MJF revealing a new or his version of the belt, just like Brian did when he was heel with the Captain Planet WWE belt.
Yeah, I think the belt reveal was not the reaction that they were looking for in terms of that. I still love as well that Daniel Bryan's character there is, it was referred to in WWE at the time and again here by Kid Phantom as the Captain Planet turn. Captain Planet was the good guy. Kind of, it's literally, his theme song was Captain Planet, he's a hero. But yeah. WWE can be like, this Captain Planet dude over here. I was like, yeah, the good guy.
Let's be honest, Luke. No one likes someone who preaches all the time about recycling and nonsense. Charles Berg, I did in fact see it coming. Granted, I only realized it was coming about 30 seconds before it did, but that still counts. Killer line 2, I have a lot to learn, but you made a deal with the devil. Also, lol, Uncle Mox fell down during his brawl.
So my wife... my wife thinks that John Moxley's the lamest dude.
That's incorrect.
Yeah, and she was like, she came to me and was like, I'm sorry, do you think this guy's cool? I'm like, he is cool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he's a really good wrestler. I was like, I'm not talking about his wrestling ability. He looks a bit lame. And then he fell over. And I was like, oh, this is not helping my cause, is it? Because she was just laughing her tits off. And I was like, this isn't helping. He is still cool, though.
Brian Murkowski, can't believe I'm saying this, but I didn't like the MJF segment. Felt like Cody Jericho feud era promo instead of someone who went to war with his idol, put his self-loathing out there, beat the most dominant champ in AEW history. Zero fire.
In fairness, though, like that Cody Jericho feud had some of Cody's best promo work.
Jay Toomer, Memberg for 2 months. William Regal to WWE confirmed. Thanks for all your work and iWrestleTalk.
That's my name. I heart
wrestle. Oh, the emojis haven't come through. And finally for now, Danny G. Hi, guys. Sometimes I wonder whether WrestleTalk is right for me anymore. Is it still fresh or is it getting a little formulaic? Then you give us Ollie in a hat and I say, I'm sorry I doubted you. Hope Regal's not done, but fear he might be.
And this one here from BonesawBuck823 said, finally got to check you guys out live since I started a new job at 4 in the morning and missed the show now. Dynamite was okay, but if Regal is leaving, I do like the possibility of Mox versus Danielson with a heel Mox saying, I'm glad he got crippled. Mm. Doing the I'm glad Roman got leukemia promo.
Poor guy can't catch a break. Right, let's get into this full AEW Dynamite review. I really enjoyed the opening hour and the main event of this show. Like, I thought it was excellent. Excellent programming. At one point, I was penciling in 95% for this episode. But then the women, you know.
Oh, because you hate them.
The women's division. I love the women. I love Willow Nightingale. I thought she was excellent.
I thought the Willow stuff was very, very fun. Oh, that Jade Cargill saying that over like a fart in a church.
Oh, yeah. And there were a few bits with the MJF segment, as we'll go into. While spectacular, wasn't fully what it needed.
Wasn't 90% plus worth.
Yeah, yeah. But it opened with Jon Moxley coming out, cutting a promo. I'm the best wrestler in the world. Out of nowhere, Hangman Page's music hits. He gets in the ring, nose to nose with Moxley, and Moxley just goes, do you want to do this? Considering what happened last time, referring to the horrible concussion Paige suffered.
And then said, oh, I'm sorry, do you not remember? Bloody hell, Mox.
And then they just had this awesome pull-apart brawl. Backstage emptied of security guards trying to keep them apart. They continue to brawl after the ad break, which I really like. That's two segments on this show that had an ad break and it was still going on afterwards. I like that pacing. Yeah. It doesn't make me feel like, oh, your 15 minutes are done now for the next thing. It entwines everything throughout the episode. But I thought this was great.
Yeah, I thought this was really awesome. I was reading back my notes here and I sort of forgot about the Hangman Page thing. You know when you read your notes and you think, well, I've written something else, or I've written that to make me think of something else. Because I've written Pages back, and you and I had that conversation earlier. When I said, oh, I was thinking of leading today with the Page stuff. And you were like, it's not that great. And I was like, what? You thought the pull apart brawl was awesome? Like, oh, I think it's all about Saraya.
I was like, why do you want to cover Saraya getting an interview on Rampage?
I was like, that's going to be my lead thumbnail for the podcast. Paige to do a sit down interview. And then because I've written down Paige's back, I was like, why was I so excited that she was going to have a sit down interview with Rampage? But no, I thought this was an awesome, awesome segment. I legit popped when Hangman's music hit. Because I did not expect to see him back here. And, you know, the commentators were putting out, I was like, I don't know if he's cleared or not. Clearly he is. But, yeah, I thought it was rad. Even with Moxley falling over.
Yeah.
Still thought it was great.
Yeah, because, I mean, he did fall over. They brawled up the ramp and Moxley ran up the ramp and just, obviously, forgot where the ramp ended.
Commentator was even like, he was so into the fight. Yeah. He wasn't even looking at the stage.
I was so into the fight. He got right back up and then he just continued on the brawl. I thought it added to the chaos, honest. But what it really left me with is, I want Moxley as a heel now.
Yeah, you ready for a heel?
I don't know what else he can do. He's been a babyface the entire time, right?
Apart from when we thought we were going to get that heel run at Full Gear last year. Do you remember when he was in the tunnel and then he went to rehab instead? When he came back from rehab, there was no way he was going to be a heel. So yeah, maybe now is the time to be doing this. I'm really pissed off Moxley, especially going up against a Page. Although, poor lad. Like, when is he going to get this holiday?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of mileage in Moxley as a heel now. And I think he's got the reason to do it. Usually you'd think, oh, MJF and Regal turned on him. That would make him a face. But if this just fuels his bitterness and he just becomes a mean bastard, I think that could be good.
Yeah, go back to that violence.
Bryan Danielson then took on Dax Harwood, a match that has no story going into it, but good grief. What a match.
What a match it was. Of course, I mean, it's Dax Harwood versus Bryan Danielson. It was one of those things like, you know, they advertised this on social media. And I think they put it up on Rampage as well, being like, first time ever, it's Harwood versus Danielson. It's a match designed to make fans go, well, fans like us, we go like, oh, I need to watch Dynamite so I can see that match. And they did exactly what you wanted them to do. And slightly more, because the bits I really enjoyed in this is when they hit each other so hard that they both sort of fell into each other and both couldn't really stand up, but then just kept hitting each other even harder and making themselves fall down even more. Oh, it was great.
In the opening few minutes, I think, Dax does this chop. And I think even Dax was surprised how loud it was. The whole crowd went, oh! It was...
And Brian Anderson went, oh!
Yeah, I mean, he came down later, a couple of segments later, to tend to Regal. You could see his whole chest was welted up.
Yeah.
But that is Danielson's way. He's like a few shades off Sheamus, isn't he?
Well, yeah, a fly goes past him.
But yeah, this was a fantastic match. Hard hitting, back and forth, non-stop. It was just two guys trying to prove who is the tougher bloke.
Yeah, and we saw Danielson. They did some pinfall exchanges leading up into the finish, with Danielson transitioning out of that pinfall sequence into the LaBelle lock for the tap out win. Afterwards, raised up Dak, and they both had a big hug and everything. Have you seen Harwood's interview he did with Fightful?
Oh yeah, I've read bits of it, and I've seen one clip.
Yeah, saying that their deals are up April next year, and they are currently weighing up their options. Do they stick with AEW? WWE have called and said they want them back. Or, I think actually was interesting, they were like, we really like indie wrestling, so we might just not sign with any major company and just do an indie tour.
I don't. I love them. They're one of my favorite teams ever. I don't trust anything they say. Because, like, earlier in the year, just a couple of months ago, when it came out that their contracts might be expiring soon... Mm. They were like, oh no, we're with Tony forever. Don't worry about it. Or like, we're definitely with Tony until the end. And now they're saying this. I think they say whatever they feel like at the time.
To get them headlines.
I think they're also, yeah, and it's a smart game to play. Mm-hmm. You're essentially doing what MJF is doing in kayfabe, which is not so subtly, but not explicitly putting AEW and WWE against each other. Because if they want to work an indie schedule, I mean, look at their summer. That's all they've done. They've done all the indie dates. They've been on indie shows more than they have AEW. I'm sure you could arrange a deal with Khan to be like, well, we just want to do four matches, four big programs a year with you, and we're indies all the rest of the time.
Oh, that would require Tony to think of four big programs, though. He hasn't done that this year, has he?
That's a good point. This was a great match. You said there was the near falls at the end, sort of the Randy Savage macho... Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat interchanges. I thought, well, Steamboat's just had that return match on Sunday.
Yep.
So you got to think that's what Dax and Danielson are playing.
They're probably, yeah, very much into watch. I mean, well, Dax was in the match.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I think Tony actually said recently, Tony said that he'd be quite open to having Steamboat do a match in AEW. Because of course he would. Probably be him versus Sting.
Yeah, well, they'd probably get Flair. That's when you bring in Flair, finally.
Is it...
At the end, Dax looked annoyed and went to storm off past Danielson, ignoring the handshake, but then he turned around and hugged him.
Yeah.
Really nice moment.
Well, you know, he's annoyed because he's a grumpy man and he just lost a wrestling match, so of course he's annoyed. Mm. But then he's like, I think he'd be by the Batman.
It's all fists, isn't it? After that, we had Ricky Stark saying he's going to win the Diamond Battle Royal, which I think is a great story. I think he should. And then it's like, he should win the ring, and then it makes you believe that he could actually beat Max for the title a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll certainly see.
Mm. Then Mox and Hangman still fighting. A weird sit-down interview segment with Claudio Wheeler-Yuta and JAS with the purple hat. No Chris Jericho, he was in Australia.
Yeah, so this segment here was to further the final battle stuff, because that's happening in like 9 days' time or something, like a couple of weeks' time, because it's Claudio versus Jericho for the ROH Championship. If Jericho wins, Claudio has to join JAS. They were doing some stuff around that. And also to set up Wheeler Yuta versus Daniel Garcia for the Pure Championship. But it was a very weird, weird segment. Made only weirder because I've just learned them. It was like, why aren't you angry about the Regal stuff? Like, I know you've got some things to focus on here. You might have to join JAS. I'm sure that's playing on your mind, but aren't you a group? Like, even in my world where I'm like, well, they're not really a faction, they're a dojo. Even in that, like, you're still a dojo together. Like, shouldn't you at least have a thought on what's going on?
JAS kind of brought it up. They said the Blackpool Combat Club is crumbling, I think, but I can't remember anyone ever saying Regal's name. Garcia has just totally regressed as a character. Oh, all that work they did over the summer.
So disappointing.
Which I found back and forth anyway, has totally been scuppered. So I feel like that's a bit of a waste. So I thought this was bad. We got Samoa Joe taking on AR Fox. AR Fox have recently signed. This felt like the Samoa Joe of old.
Oh, didn't it just? Mm. Particularly because, and the camera caught it this time, AR Fox has a 450 spring to the outside. Joe just walks away from it. And then Joe does this all like, oh, God, oh, big 450. Yeah, I'm so good. Fox had landed on his feet. Big setup to do the big comedy heel sell. I thought it was wonderful. Yeah. And then later on, I was like, oh, I'm so glad that we got that walkaway spot. He only went and did it again. He did it again. But it was so cool.
Muscle Buster for the Joe win in 5 minutes. Excellent.
Yeah.
This is Joe.
Yeah.
And he's got both belts, ROH title, TNT title. Wardlow appeared on the Tron afterwards and cut a promo and said, I'm coming for one of the belts.
Coming for the TNT Championship. That's his belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have both.
You could. Well, why would you want the ROH Television Championship? They don't have a television deal.
Because Joe has it and you're feuding with the guy.
Yeah, but
I'm going to take both your belts off you.
TNT Championship. That's the one that Wardlow wants. It's Wardlow's world.
It's Wardlow's world, which there's probably room for two belts.
Well, no,
right?
Wardlow's world only has one television channel, and that's already got Wardlow's world airing on it. So, you know, you can't have two TV championships on a one network station.
What will it take for him to stop saying Wardlow's world?
I thought he had. I thought there's a handful of weeks where he hadn't done it. And I was like, oh, they've realized
thank
it.
Thank God.
It really was. Thank Crom, they've stopped doing this. And then he said it last week, and I was like, oh no. was it the belt that was making you stop doing it? Because now you've lost the belt, you have to do it again? Oh no. But he's doing it again.
Obviously, we like Wardlow. but, you know, appearing on the Tron, saying Wardlow's world, how great Samoa Joe is.
Just Samoa Joe being like, I'm the self-proclaimed king of television. Mm. I was like, that's a well better catchphrase than Wardlow's world.
Joe Town. I'm the mayor of Joe Town.
Yeah, just party time. Excellent. So,
well, it'd be a good match, but I thought Wardlow's presentation wasn't great here for him. We got a Book of Hobbs vignette, which was pretty much just Powerhouse Hobbs going to the shops.
Yeah, and then we await the next installing chapter, enthralling chapter.
I like that they're doing the character work vignettes for mid-card people. You need to give me more than one scene. This felt like the Alexa Bliss psychiatrist things, where they just cut it halfway through.
He walked past a bunch of guys, they looked a bit scared of him, and then he went to the shops.
That does not make me excited to see what happens next.
Are you not excited to see what he buys? What else on his grocery list for that week?
A couple of Rizla, mate, and a lighter.
Do you reckon he's going to get some Panini stickers to finish up that album? Got to do it before the World Cup ends. Bet you he's one of those people that would buy like a whole box rather than buying individual packs.
Thankfully, Taz returned with his analytical breakdown of certain moves. It was a hooks. I can't remember what it was, but it was like...
It's the red run.
Yeah, it was transitioning between various bits. Yeah. That was great. Then we got the MJF promo. So we talked about the William Regal angle to this and somewhat of the feud he set up afterwards. But yeah, a new world championship design. Burberry on the leather strap.
Indeed, yeah. So this did not get a great reaction from the crowd. I think the Burberry needs to be more overt because I think if you're just there in the audience, what you saw... Because even me watching on TV thought, that looks exactly the same as the belt that he just threw on the floor. And it was only until they did the close-up with the belt, I was like, oh, I always got a Burberry strap. And then Tony Schiavone's being like, that's disgusting. I was like, okay, cool. At least I know that I, the audience, am supposed to think that this looks rubbish. But the crowd just looked, it was like, that's the same belt, mate.
I don't think you should do this. But
I wouldn't have done it either.
But legally, could you put a very WWE-style belt, but it's Miz-style the other way around, and it's an M.
So I said this in the office earlier. My worry was it was going to look like the WWE Championship design. And you and 10 business people were like, oh, that would have been really cool. And I was like, no, it would have been really bad because all it would have done is just made people online be like, just copying WWE, just copying WWE and this and the other. And it just sort of like fires up that troll fan base that like doesn't need any more amplifying. But having said that, at least would have got a reaction, whereas this one really didn't.
Yeah, it was partly bad crowd, but also MJF. This was, MJF's fantastic. One of the best talkers. And he still made this engaging despite it being 17 minutes. But a lot of it was housekeeping. So he had to explain his and Regal's deal. He introduced a new belt. He sort of set up the direction of three feuds to come off the back of this. He wrapped up the firm stuff, which honestly, I'm not exaggerating, was him going, but who cares? And he then turned on Regal. That, for me, that's three segments. At least the belt, I think you should have saved for 2 weeks and you do that. Because that could be a strong enough thing by its own in a 5-10 minute slot. And this could then have been 5-10 minutes.
I suppose you just had to do a lot before winter is coming, because that's in 2 weeks' time when he's got his title match with Ricky. And he wasn't on last week's show because he was doing the film. So probably had to do some of the stuff you would have done last week in this segment here as well. So that kind of, 2 weeks worth of stuff. But even then, they still crammed a lot of stuff within this.
Why do you need to unveil the belt? I get why you need to do Regal, because he's going back to WWE. But the belt stuff you could have done after winter is coming.
But it's just he wanted to do it right off the bat. He did say that, he did keep talking about, like, I'm above this belt. I'm much bigger than this belt is, so I need a belt that is befitting of me. If you're going to have that attitude, you need to do that kind of right off the bat, I guess.
He also said Jolly Ain't Old Saint Nick for Nick Khan, and he referenced The Game Trips, his buddy, so playing up that 2024.
The contract war of 2024, yeah.
Which is awkward. Look, when Max cut this promo back before the summer after Double or Nothing, and he started doing the WWE stuff, and he really did frame AEW as the... I feel like AEW came off as a heel, and he came off as a badass tweener in that whole thing. That feeling hasn't gone away, even though MJF is doing everything he can to be a heel.
I would disagree on that. I think the tables have turned since. I agree with, earlier, when he did the whole Fire Me promo, he was the babyface and Tony Khan was the heel. I think now MJF has made himself unequivocally the heel in this, and WWE is the heel in this, and AEW is the babyface company. I think they have done enough to turn the tables on that.
I think even if you think it will turn the table, I personally don't think it has. I think just the way the trajectory is at the moment, and if Regal is going back to WWE, it's going to, WWE are going to put him on TV and be quite flagrant with it. So it's just it's not going to paint a... It's hard to do this storyline without making AEW seem second rate to WWE. We lived through this with TNA. And while I love the story, I love the idea of it, I just think it's got this consequence that you can't avoid.
It's the baddie saying it, though. And it's the heel that is saying it. It's not like you've got your top babyface champion saying, I'm going to go to WWE. WWE's the big company to go to. It is your top heel saying, this company stinks. It's like, the Dan Lambert promos. So I totally get what you're saying. There is a certain, there is a ceiling to this to go beyond. And I think the problem that you've got, though, is that it's a whole year. This storyline is not going to get really cooking until November, December time next year, when you really are at the end of 2023, and 2024 is just around the corner. At this point, it's just a lot of talk and lip service. So I get what you're saying. I don't know how much longer you can keep this going for before it starts to become stale. That's more my worry. But I don't think in any of this, AEW will feel like the heel, because the AEW audience is into AEW and have planted their flags for them, as they have, apart from, unopposed to WWE.
Maybe they won't feel like the heel, but they might feel second rate.
I don't think this is going to feel as second rate, if only because the thing with TNA is that WWE never acknowledged that TNA were doing what they were doing, but WWE are signing AEW talent. So there at least does feel like WWE are actively trying to take away talent from AEW.
I don't know, WWE brought back Bret Hart. on the same night
that's
that TNA
slightly
relaunched.
Different. That's only because TNA had Hogan. I'm talking more about like when Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were calling out Triple H and Shawn and being like, "We're gonna fight you at the Alamo," and then they didn't show up. Or you know, they challenged Vince to show up at a TNA pay per view, which Dixie legit thought he was going to do. That is second rate. Mm. Like, that's really carny second-rate stuff. This is just a character on TV being a dick saying, I think the other company is better because it riles up this company's fan base.
It's a... We can both agree, though, that it's a difficult balance to navigate.
100% it is.
After this segment, we then had Ricky Starks versus Ari Daivari. And it was just a squash match to get Ricky over, build him. Great. Checkbox ticked. They also had to balance Ethan Page and Stokely Hathaway coming out to say, actually, I'm going to win the diamond ring. And Matt Hardy also ran out.
Yeah, I forgot about the Matt Hardy in the firm thing.
It was because the firm bought him off of
they won
the family.
Him.
Oh, my God.
They won him on Dark or something. Either way, his services are with... I think Jeff's coming back next week.
Why?
Because Matt's back on TV.
Like, one doesn't necessarily... He's not the Silver Surfer.
What do you mean? Of course he is. He's ice cold. Matt Hardy. No,
we'll see.
I really have a feeling that Jeff's back next week, and that's why Matt was on TV this week, because Jeff's going to come back. Or Jeff's back very soon, so that he can win back Matt's contract from the firm.
I just thought this could have been shuffled around in the episode a bit neater. So if you have this Ricky Starks-Daivari match before the MJF promo, and Ricky wins, and then he cuts the promo in the ring, saying, I'm going to win the Diamond Battle Royal as well. I'm coming for everything, Max. Then Ethan Page jumps him from behind, takes out Ricky, and is like, no, actually, I'm going to win it. Perfect. Because then... when MJF mentions Ricky Starks in the promo, it's like, oh, but where's Ricky should come out now? Eddie Kingston wasn't there. Danielson had just had a match. So I feel like...
They said he was in the trainer's room.
Yeah, Moxley and Page were ejected from the arena, which allowed Regal to come in. There was a lot of work done to explain why people weren't interrupting Max in this 17-minute segment. But not enough was done for his next challenger, Ricky Starks.
I would agree with that.
After that, it's the women's quarter hour. I wrote in my review, Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter did an interview segment about an interview segment to set up an interview segment.
Yeah, that's right. That's what happened.
Anna JAS took on Willow Nightingale. Fun match, mostly because of Willow Nightingale.
Yeah, crowd are really into Willow. I'm staking my flag in the ground. She should be the person to dethrone Jade Cargill.
I think so too. She won, which is good, building that momentum. A lot of matches on this show that were just about, let's give this person a win to build them up.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Because you have those matches, you have the in-ring segments, two great in-ring segments. Well, one great in-ring segment and a busy one. And two fantastic matches.
Yeah, pretty good.
So Ruby Soho then returned to beat up Ty Mello. Yeah.
Cool. Glad to see you. And she's from a town that's very close to the building. So good hometown pop for her coming back.
QT Marshall challenged Orange Cassidy for the All Atlantic title. He was making a big song and dance about it, but Cassidy was just like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
He's like, it'll be a lumberjack match. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Then we had comfortably the worst thing on the show. With the MJF stuff, I think you could argue that it was actually very good and did a lot of work. This is bad. This is the baddest bad.
Okay, Cargill's a very good promo. She does not flub any of her lines. She delivers them with conviction. I don't think anyone cares about Lil Bow Wow.
Hmm.
Or, unfortunately, the baddies. She at one point said, camera crew show the baddies. And I'm like, they're in the ring with you. I've already seen them. And then they showed some other baddies. I was like, well, so who are these baddies?
Yeah.
And then she was like, I'm the only star here. And then Lil Bow Wow shows up to no reaction because no one knows who Lil Bow Wow is. And then she's like, cool, I'll see you soon. And the segment ended. But like Lil Bow Wow's thing, am I right in thinking this? I'm not that in touch with current day pop culture.
Yeah.
Lil Bow Wow was popular like 20 plus years ago, right?
Well, you know, we're not Americans, so sometimes we say things about people we haven't heard from in decades.
But I just want to double check. He's the Bow Wow Wow, yippee yo, yippee yay, where's my dogs at, bark with me now. Is that him?
I think so. There's because he's little. We know him as little because he came about as what looks like a 14-year-old boy there.
And that song came out when I was at school.
Yes.
So that's the same guy, right?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I'm just saying that he's not...
Apparently, people are saying that, like, you know, people do know who he is.
Well, on his Wikipedia page, you have 2001, an album release. 2002, album release.
This is when I was at school.
2003 to 2006, they've grouped together some album releases on the Wikipedia page. Then 2007 to 2009, some more albums grouped together. Then 2010 to present. So he has done nothing that Wikipedia defines as worthy of its own subheading for 12 years.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Maybe he'll have a new one of All Elite Wrestling 2022 to present. Because then he said that he's going to be back soon. But regardless of, we should also precipice as well. In the UK, he has got no foothold here whatsoever.
No,
he has not been culturally relevant in this country for 20 plus years.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
2001, you said the album's out. So that is 20
plus
years.
Only one breakout hit.
One song. He was a one-hit wonder in this country. So that is by the by. What's more my problem is that this was mic'd so poorly... And it was played out over what sounded like a mobile phone. And so it was just Bow Wow going like, I'll see you soon. I was writing my notes. I was like, well, I think he said he'll see her soon. And then the segment ended. And Jade Cargill stood in the room and was like. And then Jade Cargill's music played. And then they all left.
I don't understand why AEW are so hot on this idea. Because I think AEW actually have a fantastic track record with celebrity angles.
Look at Jay and Silent Bob.
Kevin Smith. Shaq.
Rosario Dawson. She was part of the Nightmare. She was
that
part
was
of the
awesome.
She was part of the Nightmare Factory.
There was a more recent one.
There was the lad with Swerve in Our Glory who was...
Rick Ross.
Yeah, who was awesome.
It was amazing. Accusations.
Yeah, that guy.
I think he's like a genuine big star working today.
As far as I know.
Yeah. But Lil Bow Wow, yeah, don't get it. We go backstage and we've got the Acclaimed doing a really fun faux military drill from Daddy Ass. And he's like, what are you going to do? And they're like, we're going to do this, sir. I should say Daddy Ass. It was very funny. Essentially, they're setting up. They will appear on Rampage.
Yeah. My wife does not get it.
Okay. Well, it seems like neither does Dave Meltzer. Because, we say this with all love, because we love Dave Meltzer here on the WrestleTalk podcast. When Brian Alvarez was running through this segment, Meltzer said, yeah, and they were pretending to be robots. And Alvarez went, no, it was military. I went back and watched. I went back and watched the segment. And I thought,
they were very robotic.
But like,
they were very stationary.
Obvious Full Metal Jacket lineup, sort of promo style. I just love the idea. I thought they were. How confused must he have been?
Right, never starts being like, and the Acclaimed were robots this week.
I guess they're a wacky act. I don't know. The main event was absolutely extraordinary. Death Triangle versus the Elite in the third match of the Best of Seven series.
I can't believe someone in the chat just called us boomers.
Really?
Yeah. We're millennials, I'll have you know.
How dare you?
This
was an absolutely fantastic match. It is. I don't feel like I'm watching a Best of Seven. I feel like I'm watching one massive match.
Yeah, that's the brilliance of it, right? It's a Best of Seven Falls match that's just been breaking up into seven different episodes.
This was so, so good. And when it was announced, randomly, oh, by the way, this is Best of Seven. I was like, oh, okay, well, that would be great because the quality of people in the ring. But I had reservations. I was like, oh, God, how are you going to make this work and try and do something new every week? And, The pay-per-view was amazing. Last week was amazing. Part of me thinks this is even better. Actually, last week had the Punk fun stuff, but actually, I think the in-ring work here was just insane. And when it said, oh, the next one won't be for 2 weeks, I was genuinely like, oh no, yeah. I wanted this again next week.
It's great, right? And you're right as well, because this is the first match that hasn't had, you know, when they came back at Full Gear, it was the return match. Mm-hmm. Then last week's one was all the Chicago stuff. So this is like the first just straight match that the two have had that haven't had like just bells and whistles bounding around it. And that made it feel very different. And they knew that was going to feel different. So they structured this match completely differently to the other two, where the first half it was a brawl outside the ring with the bell not even ringing. They were just doing crazy stuff off the ramps and stuff. Mm. I thought it was a really, really cool match that also furthered on some storylines. Penta tried to use the hammer, but Phoenix stopped him. And then it was Phoenix that was taken out of the match. But the finish, I thought, was awesome.
Insane.
Such a cool finish, which is that they were like beating on Kenny and beating on Kenny and beating on Kenny. And eventually, Pac goes up to hit the Black Arrow on Matt Jackson. And Matt Jackson gets the knees up into Pac's face. And Pac's got the protective eye mask on at the moment. And he just crumples to the floor. Matt rolls him up. Nick and Matt's reaction to it was a real like, oh, wow, we won. Because they're 2-0 down. So they were like, whoa, we won this one. That's really good. And they were like actually quite surprised that they won. I thought it was really cool.
I love when matches do callbacks to previous matches. You know, Omega Okada is based on that whole thing where it's just all smart references, Easter eggs and things like that. But typically when you do those matches are spread out by at least a month because it goes from pay-per-view to pay-per-view. What we've got here is seen a weekly episodic version of the same match, and they can riff off stuff that I just saw. So you do get a sense of increasing counters. It makes sense as this series goes on. All the offense will be scouted as both teams become more familiar with each other. So to win on a counter because someone was injured previously is, I cannot overstate how fantastic that is as a detail.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. And I think I will say this probably in every Elite match that we have in this Best of Seven series, because I said this on the Full Gear live reactions as well. But just imagine thinking Kenny Omega's a bad wrestler. Imagine thinking that.
Well, should we get on with the rest? Oh, overall, I gave it 85%.
So that's a 4.5 out of 5, right?
A little bit higher.
A little bit higher, yeah.
80% for 4.25?
Yeah, I'd say like, yeah, 4 out of 5.
But that was the old sort of average.
Yeah.
But if there wasn't that weak half hour in the second hour, this would be 95% easy.
Yeah. I would have also given it 4 out of 4. 4 out of 5, rather.
Yeah. But yeah, it feels like the last 2 weeks of AEW has been back to the quality of what I remember as the good days. Yes, let's get into the remaining chats. Please send them over to wrestletalk.com/support. Last call for those. Jack Merritt 1, getting this in early for the AEW review. Can anyone explain what's going on between Jade and this Mr. Bow Wow fella? Everything in AEW is great at the minute, except for this. I haven't a effing clue what's happening.
Yeah, I think if you're following Jade Cargill on social media, or Lil Bow Wow for that matter, you'll probably be quite up to date with this story. As I do neither, I'm slightly lost.
I don't think it would be good even if you did follow it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just think it's objectively bad performance that's not getting over. Don't Mind Me, I'm at Work says, why is Hangman going after Mox when he should channel that energy and go after Ten and Roosh like frickin' Terminator? They made Negative One cry. Uneven show, but at least it was a lot of fun in parts.
Why is Hangman going after Mox? Did we all forgot what happened to him in the Mox match?
He nearly ended his career, you could argue. And the Dark Order, it's just a name now. Card Hitman 89, I'm back with my yearly report. Last night was a wonderful evening of amazing wrestling. Dax and Danielson had the match of the night. Ooh, What would you put a match of the night? I'd probably give it to the trios.
Yeah.
Tough, though.
It is tough.
I'm not into the Young Bucks, but still a fun performance. Just sad no one went through the cake.
Did see a lot of people in the chat there being like, there was a cake there that did not get used.
I'm Just Marcus says, my only problem with the MJF segment was Regal's motivation for turning on Mox and the Blackpool Combat Club is because he felt like it. Max was always going to turn on Regal. Yeah, that's pretty much what I think.
Danielson did also give the reasoning last week, which is, yeah, this is what he does, but this is also why we love him.
I don't think that's good enough for me.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair.
Also, so happy to see Hangman Page back. Him versus Mox lights out at Revolution.
Ooh, that'd be great. Yeah. Or like, you know, on the January 1st show, New Year's Smash or something. Mm.
Yorkmaster 53. Moxie can't go on vacation because Renee is now employed. He has to wait for her vacation time to kick in under 90 days.
Or was it a case of that Regal was going to leave? They were like, well, someone's leaving, yeah. So call the Mox phone.
Jimby Nimbus. What a name. Says, getting big Jamiroquai vibes from Ollie's hat. Love it. Thought it was a 4 out of 5 show. Few hiccups, but I appreciate having multiple women's storylines and seeing favourites like Ricky and Ethan get real TV time. Wow. That is a low barometer for real TV time because Ethan was on there for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, hey, it's better than being on Dark Elevation.
That's a good point.
Or Rampage. And yeah, you have got, it's actually quite JK-like, isn't it? Get you some like travelators so you can do some dancing around in here.
Don't Mind Me, I'm At Work Again says, when MJF said he had a new belt, I had NAMM flashbacks to the spinner belts of yesteryear. Now that is what would get some heel heat. God, imagine if he just span the middle. In fact, why hasn't Jericho done that yet? Money left on the table. Hashtag hat that hat. I'll tell you why Jericho hasn't done that yet. Because he has a really good concept for a faction based on sports entertainment, but hasn't done it. He just hasn't done the sports entertainment gimmick. But he keeps on telling everyone that that's what he's doing.
That's cheap heel heat, isn't it?
Such a good idea. Ramia 1707 says, MJF alluding to going on a part-time schedule as champion. Typical MJF ripping off that Rio when she was reigning as champion. For real, though, I can't wait for William Regal to get that bag for yelling, War Games, once a year.
Yeah, it's going to pick up a nice paycheck. Just to hang around and every year, come out in every November and just say, War Games.
He'll do loads of backstage scouting work.
And now he'll be busy elsewhere, but TV time.
OGP, yeah, you know me, says, wow, wasn't expecting Regal to leave, but respect the respect he's getting if he was granted his release. According to Sean Ross Sapp,
It's contracts up anyway.
I liked most of this episode. Very fun. Excellent main event. Excited not only for next week and Winter is Coming, but also Rampage. Keith and Swerve on Friday. Yeah, so they're going to have a announcement.
Oh, are they?
Are they still together?
I must have missed that.
Anthony Brewer, nice hat, Ollie. It's very sports entertaining. And Emery Alexander says, I'm mostly an audio-only listener, and WrestleTalk Podcast was my number one podcast in Spotify Wrapped. Thanks for spending 5,699 minutes with me in the past year.
Well, thank you, Emery Alexander.
Just see how many hours that is. So divide by 60.
So, hold on. I'm going to put my belt down while I type. 2 secs. 5699 divided by 60. 94.9 hours.
95 hours.
Yeah.
That's, well, pretty much 4 solid days, day and night, nonstop. Yeah. Thank you very much, Emery.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you to everyone as well who has gotten in touch with us on social media, posting up their Spotify Wrapped, showing that we were among their most played, in some cases, the most played podcast that they have on Spotify. My number one artist for the year was The Beatles.
Ah, good band. New band.
Yeah, absolutely. Followed by Faith No More.
We just have one last one from OGP. Yeah, you know me. Side note, I blame Ollie for Professor Dan no longer being on Raw. Let Luke have some NRB time, Ollie. Professor Dan and Pete for Raw Reviews. DAD for Board Game Club. JK, we know it's not that simple. Keep up the good work, fellas. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam.
Sure, Professor Dan will be around somehow, somewhere else.
He's not. He was on Quizzlemania last night, in fact.
Can't get rid of him. I watched the football with him on Tuesday.
Yeah, he was on. Me and him will be doing Cineworld tomorrow.
He's coming to our Christmas party next Friday. But anyway, thank you very much for joining us here today. Please do press subscribe, leave a comment down below, share the video around, all that lovely stuff. For now, I've been Ollie Davis. That's been Luke Owen, DADJTJ. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.